Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. In October of 2017 at the Feast of Tabernacles, I had a heart attack. I was rushed to the hospital, they did surgery, and then they proceeded to prescribe all kinds of big pharma stuff for my bad diabetes that I discovered I had. Well, the big pharma did absolutely nothing to help my healing or the diabetes. So this year, in 2018, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right after Passover, my friend Patrick had brought some Youngevity products from YourDIYHealth.com. He gave me them as I needed to be shown that they work because I'm such a terrible skeptic. Well, these things provided my body with the nutrients needed to heal itself, and I am absolutely amazed. I am not used to endorsing anything, but this stuff has worked wonders for me. You can contact Jim Ram, whose show is on EFR, at YourDIYHealth.com. That's YourDIYHealth.com. And the toll-free order number for those Youngevity products is 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. If you have any of the problems that I was experiencing with diabetes or slow healing, I suggest that you try these products. I am sold on them. They really work. Thank you very much for your time, and may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 381st Word for Word show. That's not counting the reruns. That's just new shows. The show is for the 11th of May, 2018. We are in the book of Sirach, in the Apocrypha, and we will be starting in chapter 13 today. I want to give my website, if anybody has missed some shows and wants to listen to them, or you want to download any of the stuff, it's www.pastor-steve.com. It's not an interactive site. You can't troll. It's download or listen. I have links to all the two seed line sites and information on stuff for sale, how to get my Torah, how to get the DIY health products. I'm real pleased with the site. A friend of mine has set it up for me, and it's a nice little site. Let's start in chapter 13 of the book of Sirach today. And this is caution regarding associates. This is the subsection here. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Whoever touches pitch gets dirty. That's tar, okay? And whoever associates with a proud person becomes like him. Verse 2. Do not lift a weight too heavy for you, or associate with one mightier and richer than you. How can the clay pot associate with the iron kettle? The pot will strike against it and be smashed. Verse 3. A rich person does wrong and even adds insults. A poor person suffers wrong and must add apologies. Boy, is that ever true. Verse 4. A rich person will exploit you if you can be of use to him. But if you are in need, he will abandon you. Verse 5. If you own something, he will live with you. He will drain your resources without a qualm. Verse 6. When he needs you, he will deceive you and will smile at you and encourage you. He will speak to you kindly and say, "What do you need?" Verse 7. He will embarrass you with his delicacies until he has drained you two or three times. And finally, he will laugh at you. Should he see you afterwards, he will pass you by and shake his head at you. Wow. Verse 8. Take care not to be led astray and humiliated when you are enjoying yourself or in your folly. Okay? There's two versions, and I have both here in this text. Verse 9, when an influential person invites you, be reserved, and he will invite you more insistently. Verse 10, do not be forward, or you may be rebuffed. Do not stand aloof, or you will be forgotten. Verse 11, do not try to treat him as an equal or trust his lengthy conversations, for he will test you by prolonged talk, and while he smiles, he will be examining you. Verse 12. Cruel are those who do not keep your secrets. They will not spare you harm or imprisonment. Verse 13, be on your guard and very careful, for you are walking about with your own downfall. And as verse 14, which is missing in this text, it has, when you hear these things in your sleep, wake up. During all your life, love Yahweh and call on him for your salvation. That's good advice. Verse 15. Every creature loves its like, and every person the neighbor. In other words, each kind and to its kind. Oh, for heaven's sakes, that's quite possibly racist. For heaven's sakes. Verse 16. Here we go again. All living beings associate with their own kind. and people stick close to those like themselves. Again, that sounds racist. Verse 17. What does a wolf have in common with a lamb? No more has a sinner with a devout. Verse 18. What peace is there between a hyena and a dog? And what peace between the rich and the poor? Verse 19. Wild asses in the wilderness are the prey of lions. Likewise, the poor are feeding grounds for the rich. You gotta love this. This is great stuff. Verse 20. Humility is an abomination to the proud. Likewise, the poor are an abomination to the rich. Verse 21. When the rich person totters, he is supported by friends. But when the humble or poor falls, he is pushed away even by friends. So-called friends. Verse 22, if the rich person slips, many come to the rescue. He speaks unseemly words, but they justify him. If the humble person slips, they even criticize him. He talks sense, but is not given a hearing. Verse 23, the rich person speaks and all are silent. They extol to the clouds what he says. The poor person speaks and they say, who is this fellow? And should he stumble, they even push him down. Verse 24. Riches are good if they are free from sin. Poverty is evil only in the opinion of the ungodly. In other words, you must be blamed for being poor. In other words, you won't sell your soul to get rich. Verse 25. The heart changes the countenance, either for good or for evil. And other verses say, and a glad heart makes a cheerful countenance. Okay, they have several sets of notes here. This is an excellent version that I own here, and it's full of notes, which is great for somebody that's reading and teaching. Verse 26 of chapter 13. The sign of a happy heart is a cheerful face. But to devise proverbs requires painful thinking. And that ends chapter 13. Now we get into chapter 14 here. Verse 1. Happy are those who do not blunder with their lips and need not suffer remorse for sin. Verse 2. Happy are those whose hearts do not condemn them and who have not given up their hope. Get a little, I'll hope for a little of this coffee here. Yes, it's quite early in the morning when it's nice and quiet here, and perfect time to record. Now we have a subsection in chapter 14, responsible use of wealth. Verse 3, riches are inappropriate for a small-minded person. And of what use is wealth to a miser? In other words, he has all that money, but he doesn't do anything with it. Verse 4. What he denies himself, he collects for others. And others will live in luxury on his goods. In other words, when he passes away, his relatives are going to get all his loot. So he's not going to get any enjoyment out of it. He's going to leave it for other people, I guess. Verse 5. If one is mean to himself, to whom will he be generous? He will not enjoy his own riches. Verse 6. No one is worse than one who is grudging to himself. This is the punishment for his meanness. Verse 7. If ever he does good, it is by mistake. And in the end, he reveals his meanness. Verse 8. The miser is an evil person. He turns away and disregards people. Verse 9. The eye of the greedy person is not satisfied with his share. Greedy injustice withers the soul. Verse 10. A miser begrudges bread, and it is lacking at his table. He doesn't even want to spend the money on bread. Wow. Verse 11. My child, treat yourself well according to your means, and present worthy offerings to Yahweh. In other words, if you don't have a lot, whatever you can give to the Father as an offering, like service, okay? I don't have any money, but I work for the Father. And he gives me inspiration in return. He's given me healing. He's given me blessings. He's given me true friends. Not like the ones they describe in here, but real friends that have helped me when I was down. That's what the Father will give those that belong to him and call upon his name and revere him. Verse 11. My child, treat yourself well according to your means and present worthy offerings to Yahweh. Had to read that again. Don't beat up on yourself. Okay? Verse 12. Remember that death does not tarry, and the decree or covenant in the Greek, and the decree of Hades, that would be Sheol, the land of the dead in Hebrew, has not been shown to you. Okay. Verse 13. Do good to friends before you die, and reach out and give to them as much as you can. Verse 14. do not deprive yourself of a day's enjoyment. Do not let your share of desired good pass you by. Verse 15. Will you not leave the fruit of your labors to another, and what you acquired by toil to be divided by lot? That's when you die. You're going to leave all your stuff. So enjoy what you have now. You earned it. Verse 16. Give and take and indulge yourself. Because in Hades, or Sheol, one cannot look for luxury. That's the land of the dead, okay? Verse 17. All living beings become old like a garment. For the decree, or covenant, from old is, you must die. Verse 18, like abundant leaves on a spreading tree that sheds some and puts forth others, so are the generations of flesh and blood. One dies and another is born. Verse 19, every work decays and ceases to exist. And the one who made it will pass away with it. There's another little subsection in chapter 14. And it starts with verse 20. And verse 20 through 25, you can reference Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 35. That's Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 35. This is the happiness of seeking wisdom. Okay. Verse 20. Happy is the person who meditates on wisdom, or dies in wisdom. Okay. That's the other version, and reasons intelligently. Verse 21, and their note here says the structure adopted in verses 21 through 27 follows the Hebrew. Well, it should, because this was written in Hebrew first, okay? Who reflects in his heart on her ways, speaking of wisdom, and ponders her secrets, verse 22, pursuing her like a hunter and lying in wait on her paths, verse 23, who peers through her windows and listens at her doors. Verse 24, who camps near her house and fastens his tent peg to her walls. Verse 25, who pitches his tent near her and so occupies an excellent lodging place. This is all about wisdom. Verse 26, who places his children under her shelter and lodges under her boughs. Like a sheltering tree, you know, the boughs of a tree. Verse 27, who is sheltered by her from the heat and dwells in the midst of her glory. And that ends chapter 14. And we're going to get into chapter 15. I think this is probably more about wisdom here. Chapter 15 is a carryover until the next section in it. It continues on from that happiness of seeking wisdom in chapter 14. Verse 1 of chapter 15, whoever fears Yahweh will do this, and whoever holds to the law will obtain wisdom, or her, okay, because they refer to wisdom as a female. That's the Hebrew style of writing. Verse 2 of chapter 15. She will come to meet him like a mother, and like a young bride she will welcome him. Verse 3. She will feed him with the bread of learning and give him the water of wisdom to drink. Verse 4. He will lean on her and not fall, and he will rely on her and not be put to shame. Verse 5 of chapter 15. She will exalt him above his neighbors and will open his mouth in the midst of the assembly. In other words, people will listen to what he has to say. Okay. Verse 6. He will find gladness and a crown of rejoicing, and will inherit an everlasting name. In other words, he'll get a good reputation. Verse 7. The foolish will not obtain her, and sinners will not see her. That's wisdom. Won't see it. You see that today. That's very obvious. Verse 8. She is far from arrogance, and liars will never think of her. Verse 9. Praise is unseemly on the lips of a sinner, for it has not been sent from Yahweh. Verse 10. For in wisdom must praise be uttered, and Yahweh will make it prosper. Now in chapter 15, here's another little subsection called Freedom of Choice. Let me get a little hit of this coffee. I get a little dry this early in the morning. Good stuff. Verse 11. Do not say, it was Yahweh's doing that I fell away, for he does not do, and the Greek says you ought not to do, what he hates. Verse 12. Oh, yeah, here's a note. I missed this. In chapter 15, verses 11 through 20, you can reference Sirach 17, verses 1 through 12. So it'll be again in another part of Sirach. Verse 12. Do not say, it was he who led me astray, for he has no need of the sinful. Verse 13. Yahweh hates all abominations. Such things are not loved by those who fear him. In other words, you're going to have his mindset, like you're not going to love pagan idols. You're going to be reviled by them, repulsed. Pardon me, I said the wrong word. Be repulsed by them. Verse 14. It was he who created. Now they have humankind in here. That would be Adam kind. It was he who created Adam kind in the beginning, and he left them in the power of their own free choice. In other words, he doesn't want puppets. He wants people to choose him. Verse 15, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. And to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. In other words, you choose to follow Yahweh, and he will bless you for that. But you can choose the other way. So many are doing that. Verse 16, he has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Verse 17. Before each person are life and death. And whichever one chooses will be given. Okay, you can choose eternal life, or you can choose the second death. If you reject Yahweh and his laws, you choose the second death. So don't cry. You're not a puppet. You have free choice. Can't blame anybody but yourself. Verse 18, for great is the wisdom of Yahweh. He is mighty in power and sees everything. Verse 19, his eyes are on those who fear him. And he knows every human action. In other words, he knows all of that. Verse 20. He has not commanded anyone to be wicked. And he has not given anyone permission to sin. Wow. That's profound. All right, that ends chapter 15. So now we're going to get into chapter 16. And this has God's punishment of sinners, okay? And it has... an alternative verse 1, do not desire a multitude of worthless children. Now this is, in the Greek it's unprofitable. In the Hebrew it's worthless. They would be Belial. Okay. And do not rejoice in ungodly offspring. Verse 2. If they multiply, do not rejoice in them, unless the fear of Yahweh is in them. Verse 3. Do not trust in their survival or rely on their numbers. And the alternate version adds, for you will groan in untimely mourning and will know of their sudden end. For one can be better than a thousand, and to die childless is better than to have ungodly children. It's best that they were never born, okay? Verse 4. For through one intelligent person, a city can be filled with people. But through a clan of outlaws, it becomes desolate. Verse 5. Many such things my eye has seen, and my ear has heard things more striking than these. Verse 6. In an assembly of sinners, a fire is kindled, and in a disobedient nation, wrath blazes up. You hear that, America? You hear that, Europe? In a disobedient nation, wrath blazes up. Are we obedient to Yahweh these days? I think not. I think we are in apostasy. And those of us that are faithful are suffering along with the sinners. Verse 7. And you can reference Genesis 6, chapter 4. The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 6, and 3 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 7. He did not forgive the ancient giants who revolted in their might. They were the children of the Nephilim, the fallen ones. Verse 8, he did not spare the neighbors of Lot, whom he loathed on account of their arrogance. All those homosexuals. Verse 9, he showed no pity on the doomed nation, on those dispossessed because of their sins. And there's an addition from another verse. All these things he did to the hard-hearted nations, and by the multitude of his holy ones, he was not appeased. Verse 10. Or on the 600,000 foot soldiers who assembled in their stubbornness. And the alternate version is assembled in their chastening, showing mercy, striking, healing. Yahweh persisted in mercy and discipline. That's in addition to that verse in another version. Verse 11. Let me get a little hit of coffee here. Even if there were only one stiff-necked person, it would be a wonder if he remained unpunished. For mercy and wrath are with Yahweh. He is mighty to forgive, but he also pours out wrath. And we need to remember that today. Okay, he's mighty to forgive. But if he pours out his wrath, like he's going to do on these Edomites, it's going to be a terrible thing to behold. Verse 12. Great as his mercy, so also is his chastisement. He judges a person according to one's deeds. Verse 13. The sinner will not escape with plunder, and the patience of the godly will not be frustrated. Verse 14. He makes room for every act of mercy. Everyone receives in accordance with one's deeds. Boy. Now, verses 15 and 16 are not included in this text, but they are included in the notes. So, verse 15, Yahweh hardened Pharaoh, that's Pharaoh, so that he did not recognize him, in order that his works might be known under heaven. Verse 16. His mercy is manifest to the whole of creation, and he divided his light and darkness with a plumb line. Okay, those are the two verses that are not in this text. Verse 17. Do not say, I am hidden from Yahweh, and who from on high has me in mind? Among so many people I am unknown. For what am I in a boundless creation? In other words, oh, Yahweh isn't paying attention to me. Of course he is. He's keeping a record of all that we do. And people don't like to think of that because they think they're just going to get away with stuff. Verse 18. Lo, heaven and the highest heaven, the abyss and the earth tremble at his visitation. And there's an addition to that. The whole world, past and present, is in his will. Verse 19, the very mountains and the foundation of the earth quiver and quake when he looks upon them. Boy, oh boy. Verse 20, but no human mind can grasp this, and who can comprehend his ways? Verse 21, like a tempest that no one can see, so most of his works are concealed. And in the Hebrew, it also has, if I sin, no eye can see me, and if I am disloyal, all in secret, who is to know? That's an addition to that verse. That's not in this text. Continuing on, verse 22 of chapter 16. Who is to announce his acts of justice? Or who can await them? For his decree is far off. And in the Hebrew, it's the decree. And it is the covenant in Greek. And there's an addition to that verse. And a scrutiny for all comes at the end. Okay. I'm glad I have this version because it completes. If I just had just a straight King James, it wouldn't have that. Verse 23. Such are the thoughts of one devoid of understanding. A senseless and misguided person thinks foolishly. Now here's another subsection. God's wisdom seen in creation. Verse 24 of chapter 16. Listen to me, my child, and acquire knowledge, and pay close attention to my words. I will impart discipline precisely and declare knowledge accurately. And in the Greek, instead of precisely, it should be, I will impart discipline by weight. Okay. Verse 26 of chapter 16. When Yahweh created his works from the beginning, and instead of created, it has judged in the Greek, and in making them determined their boundaries, like the boundaries of the sea and the sky, etc., etc. Verse 27, he arranged his works in an eternal order, and their dominion or elements for all generations. They neither hunger nor grow weary, and they do not abandon their tasks. In other words, the sea is always there. It always washes up on the shore and goes back. Verse 28. They do not crowd one another, and they never disobey his word. They are a constant, in other words. They are always steady. Verse 29. Then Yahweh looked upon the earth and filled it with his good things. Verse 30. With all kinds of living beings, he covered its surface, and into it they must return. And that ends chapter 16. And quite honestly, looking at the time, I don't have the time today to do chapter 17. It's just not gonna happen. It's gonna have to wait until Monday, 14th. So, it's got too much in it, and I can't do it justice by rushing. So, we have enough time. This book has 51 chapters. Now, chapter 17 has a lot of notes. So I have to get that prepared for Monday. But I will leave off in chapter 16 today, which works out well. This has been wisdom literature. Quite a bit. Gives us a guidepost to live by here and it references so much other scripture. I don't know when this was written, but he had to have access to other writings. So the Apocrypha is in the intertestamental period, like Maccabees. That's historical. This book is hysterical because it makes you laugh. You listen to some of the stuff this guy is saying, and you nod your head in agreement and you chuckle because it's so obvious in today's world what he's talking about. Things haven't changed. They really haven't. It says nothing is new under the sun. Solomon said that. Well, people were good way back when. People are good today. People were complete idiots way back when, and people are complete idiots today. Look at the liberal left. Can't talk sense to them. They don't want to hear it. They want what they want. They are not guided by Yahweh. They are guided by another power. And they show it in their behavior. And if you disagree with them, who gets violent? They use these different organizations as thugs to attack our people. What's the murder rate of our people? Is there justice done, or do they let them loose? If you are assaulted, you might be arrested, and the perpetrator of the assault would go free. You see, in the last days, what is good will become evil, and what is evil will become good. So everything is a reversal today under the prince and power of the air. The devil is doing his works today with a free rein. It's a last desperate effort by him before the final battle and his destruction comes to pass. And his children, his minions, are desperate to bring his will to pass because they want to destroy true Israel. Edom has always hated Israel. Well, that about wraps it up for today. I'll be back on Monday, starting in chapter 17. It's Friday, so you have a good weekend. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. I'm going to play a little tune or two here. And the bumper music, and I'll catch you again on Monday. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.